room. Come on. Are we ready? Thanks. So, lightly attended, but everybody else will be disappointed when they find out they missed it. And there's actually, I think, more people watching at home than listening at home than in the room here. This is a continuation of an effort where we had a meeting in Prague about outreach, how to approach it, and two or three conference calls. Two conference calls in the interim. And the idea is, behind outreach, is how to get more people to participate in ICANN, how to get more people to participate effectively in ICANN, and how to get them to grow so they can take on leadership roles. And so I'll tell you the way we started out with this and then where we are, which I think is a good place. Our original idea was to create, and silos is the wrong word, but a number of silos. So if you think about where you can participate in ICANN, you can participate in one of the many constituency and stakeholder groups, the SOs and ACs and the constituency groups below them. And you can participate or, you know, in the advisory committees like the GAC or ALAC. Or you can, and also we need to populate the ICANN contributing community geographically, right? So we think about a matrix of different places organizationally to contribute, and then we want to make sure we have all the geographies covered. And, you know, we want people participating in each one of those silos. So the way we were going to go about it, which is kind of my idea, which is why I can say it's now dead, is that what we're going to do is take an inventory of all our activities intended to, you know, get people more involved than I can. See where that's kind of filled up those silos. See where the blanks are. See where we needed to do extra work. And then kind of methodically fill in those blanks. And so we had a session in Prague about this and also those conference calls. And what came out of them were just pretty much people contributing their ideas. Here's things ICANN should do to get more people involved than ICANN. And to make them more effective, the way we put it is, you know, to promote awareness of ICANN, recognition of the ICANN model, and acceptance. And so we've kind of morphed from trying to methodically fill in an activities inventory to cover all our bases to, you know, now we've got a bunch of good ideas that intuitively they fill in kind of the blank spots. So we've developed in these sessions a number of good ideas, and now it's time to kind of turn from brainstorming into doing. And so the idea behind this session is to transition from here's a number of things I can could be doing to action. So let's plan these activities out. Let's see which ones require budget. Let's see who should manage them. So should this be a community managed effort or a staff manage effort and the like, and populate them. And so I told you not to just let me say whatever I was going to say, but so Janice is going to take us through a few slides outlining where we are and what we're going to do. And then we kind of want to dive into this workbook and kind of see how we would use a tool like this maybe and go forth from here and multiply.
And you did warn me. You're right. I didn't heed the warning. So I just saw someone with a green ribbon there as a newcomer come in, and wow, would we love to have you over here. Because this is all about outreach. It's all about getting folks like you feeling welcome and engaged. We have booklets up here we're going to be using, so please don't be shy. And if anybody else would like to come and join us, please. We don't bite. We're staff. Anything you've heard about us is completely untrue, according to me. So yes, we'd love to have you come on over. So today what we're going to do is just do a quick recap of the community sessions that we've had since Prague. What we've turned them into are the key concepts and action items that we want to move forward with, those that Kurt just alluded to that are on the back of the booklet, those are the six key concepts, and inside the book are the action items that we'll get to, and then how we're going to transition from an initiative to a program. So just back quickly onto the initiative part of this, because I see some faces that haven't been part of our process before, just very quickly, this is a little over a year old. When we started doing the supporting organization advisory committee and stakeholder group special requests for the FY12 budget, it came out that there were a lot of gaps in what we're providing, especially for outreach. And so the communities had to ask for budget because of those gaps. And so those became those special requests. And they said, you know, we really need to be able to go, you know, have ambassadors to go to different conferences that you don't attend, but we need materials. We really want to build our leadership, but we need materials and facilitators. We really need to make sure that we have attendance at the ICANN meeting face-to-face. So we need some support from travel. So a lot of these additional budget requests actually turned out to be outreach. And Akram, our COO, said, come on down. That's what he said. Come on over. So he said, Kurt, you know, can you work with some members of the staff, policy, participation and engagement, finance, project office, registry, registrar, get with these folks, get them engaged and together and see what staff can come up with for how they feel about outreach. And then let's, around that concept, engage a community, and that's what got us to Prague in the community session. Leaving Prague, we had our first conference call with the community in August, beginning of August. And something very key came out of that, and those are the three words that are up there on the slide: awareness, participation, and contribution. So up till that time, we were talking about moving people in to ICANN, moving people up to ICANN, training and educating the folks that wanted to contribute. But Marilyn Cade, one of our community leaders, the chair of the business constituency, actually spoke those three words at one of our sessions there, the first session we had out of Prague. And we started calling it a methodology. It seemed to be right, first of all, to have the community be the ones to name this. We got a definition around it, but it was like, let's have the community attach the right name. So awareness of ICANN, participation in ICANN, and finally contributing to the ICANN multi-stakeholder model. So the next thing we want to talk about are the focus areas that we uncovered in these conversations. Image and recognition was a very interesting point to have be uncovered here, to have experienced community members who had up to 14 years in ICANN as a structure, but more in the internet ecosystem. And we're talking about the ICANN image. So it really kind of resonated with me to say, to remind me, we're not that old. You know, 14 is not that old. So there's a lot of maturity that we still need to do, and we need to protect the image. So, I mean, who are we? What do we stand for? What do we represent? Who do we represent? And we need, as a community, to be very clear on that, or we can't take that message out. So we need to stand as one and be very understanding of what that all means. Secondly, information gathering. We have all this expertise in this community. We have internet governance quorums around the world. And yet we're not gathering more information. And we're not asking what's the important information to gather. So that was a very important point that came out of this. We need to be focused and listen. The next are the communication tools. And so this is how we're communicating, who we're communicating to, who is doing the communicating. Now, how do we get the message out? Are brochures working? Are they sitting on a table somewhere? Are they translated properly? Are we writing the right documents? Are we putting out the right message? Is it a face-to-face that's needed? Is it a webinar? Is it an audio conference? And every region and every different constituency is going to need something a little bit different, but yet with the same information. And lastly is collaboration. And collaboration is both internal and external. So internally, Kurt was talking about silos before. Well, we have silos within our own ICANN staff that we have to keep learning how to break down. We have silos in the community where we have a community come to an ICANN meeting and spend an entire week together. And they're not getting out to be with others and to hear what they're needing and what they're doing and see where the similarities are and where we can work and collaborate better together, cross-constituency. You hear the words, are we really doing the actions? And then we go outside. Are we preparing our community to go to other events and have that clear message and be able to have the right tools to present that message? And are we collaborating ahead of time? Even coming here to Toronto, I reached out to the local host and said, we'd really like to know from an outreach perspective, what are you doing to get your community ready, to get more local participation? And she said, wow, we're really trying hard. And this was about 6 weeks out. She said, but first of all, we're out of money. She said, we're having a really difficult time finding the additional money to do this outreach. And secondly, we really haven't had this opportunity before, and we're not really sure. She and I talked about going out to universities. We talked about going out to businesses. We talked about coordinating with e-commerce. And so we're hoping that we can do more of that ourselves, collaborate ahead of time wherever we're going to go with the folks that are on the ground there, make sure we're prepared, we have the material, we have people ready to come and welcome us, and we're ready to welcome them. So then we're taking a look at those key focus areas, awareness, participation, and contribution. And out of it, we came up with six concepts, call them kind of the building blocks for outreach. First, you have to have a clear message, and one that everyone in the community and multi-stakeholder can believe in and stand behind. Next, you need to do proper planning. We can't just be red alert and jump in and expect everyone to understand our lingo, for us to be confident in what we're sharing. We have to plan it in a timely manner, plan it from a budget perspective. Overall, we need to plan. Next, we need to talk about materials. For this particular event or this particular session, what are the best materials to use? Is it even how we use the materials? What are the best things, and who can help us come up with what's in the materials? Then methods. Do we present by intimate interactions like this? Do we do webinars? Are they more cost-effective and more effective for the program piece that we're presenting? We need to think this out when we're doing the planning. Now we come to roles, and this is something we're really going to start to drill into today. The roles of the community and the roles of the staff. You know, because we don't always have to be the drivers. We can facilitate the actions that you want to take. And most of the times we kind of plow through, and then the community takes things and they plow through. But if we plan it, if we look at materials and methodology and really think about it, let's put the right owner, the right driver in the seat, and let's, you know, pump them up so that they can be in a position to implement. And last, again, is that word collaboration, both internal and external.
So I just want to make one comment on that. What we did was really take all the suggestions that came from our earlier sessions, and they all seemed to fit under one of those things. Either one of them was the content of a message, one was the method of pushing the meeting out, one was, you know, some of them were about who should take what role. So this is sort of a bootstrap. It was sort of a bootstrap classification.
Excuse me, Kurt, but I'm getting old, and my eyesight wasn't going to let me get over here, so I walked to the message. So then we are taking these outreach concepts, and we're just making sure that we are very, very clear. Message, it needs to be a clear vision, well articulated. And talking to Sally Costerton, who just came in as a senior advisor for engagement and stakeholder relations, she and I were discussing the fact that you also need to make sure that the right person is giving that right message. Not everyone can speak to certain audiences. God forbid I get in front of a technical audience. But you need to have the right speaker who has the right content, who can produce it the right way. Then we have the outside environment that we need to consider. Everybody doesn't understand our lingo and how we work. Consider who we're trying to bring in and speak to them in plain English. For the planning, we have to have objectives, list the activities, and then prioritize those activities. The methods we're talking about, what are the different mechanisms we can do for in-reach? How about the folks that are in this building now that are falling asleep at the wheel? You know, we need to make sure that they are engaged, feel part of it. What else can we do to have mechanisms for better in-reach, mechanisms for outreach, and the core info channel that really comes up to play with getting a couple months out from an event and finding someone on the ground and saying, you're going to be our focal point for information, and everything kind of flow in and out that way. My ooh-ah effect, I really like it. So then we have the materials. The community told us we need multiple use materials so that anybody can pick those materials up and bring them to an event or a session, but we also need customized for the business constituency, for the contracted parties, the non-contracted parties. Everyone does have a bit of a different agenda. We need to address it. And then collaboration. The roles are about having a standardized process. Who is in charge of that? Whose role is it to create a standardized process for recruiting? This came from Alain Barraget from the MPOC, who said, I can gather all these name cards when I'm at the conference, but after that, I don't even know where to start to do anything with them. Could staff maybe take that role to help us in that way? And it seemed like that might be a good collaboration. Utilizing the community expertise and putting them in the driver's seat, and also the facilitator role. Collaboration we've talked about, but we didn't talk about calendar and planning, and that's what we also really have to focus on. We can't just react the day before something's going to happen. We have to have that planning and collaborate early. And so we're talking today, now we're going to switch over to the workbook, and we're really going to talk about those actionable concepts. So again, taking the concepts of planning, materials, methods, messaging, collaboration, and roles, validating that, making sure we hit the mark, listening to the community, did we hit the mark on that? And if we didn't, what else are they? And then digging into the actions within this, and then determining or talking about the roles for the community and staff. Our next steps after this are to truly transition this initiative into a full-fledged program. We do have some budget this year to do it, and it's time now to start building the FY14 budget. So we need to build it together. The community and staff, we need to build this together. We're going to build on the successful community and staff interaction with more interaction and continued, not only through the budget process, through that venue, but also just from our community talking together. And we do have to establish a plan that is transparent, that is shared, that is validated for how we will move forward with this program in FY14. So, Kurt, that's where we are today. I brought us from Prague to Toronto, like a bad Bob Hope movie. And so now we would like to focus on the workbook.
So this is kind of an experiment. The idea is to develop some documentation jointly, or, you know, we go off ourselves and work on it. But, you know, what tools can we use to create a document that where we can create projects, where we can get funding for projects that we think are important, or that we assign priorities to ICANN staff, or community members have a vehicle where they can say, oh, look at that task, I want to volunteer for that. So our first stab at that was the creation of this little workbook, which we think is quite exciting. And so as Janice described, and I said really briefly, we took the inputs from the previous meetings, which are all these activities, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the first page, 3 on other pages, and they all seem to fall under one of these categories. You know, are we creating a message? You know, are we doing some planning or organization? Are we creating materials? So the materials are kind of the medium for carrying the message. You know, the methods, how do we push that message out? You know, roles, who should do what to who? And collaboration, what groups besides us, what groups should we bring in to help us with this? Do we, you know, is OECD a vehicle for informing our policy debates on geographic regions, or the DNS marketplace? Or is ISOC a resource for us to discuss further vehicles of outreach or how we collaborate across the communities? So that's an idea of collaboration, what we could use on the outside. So Our first plan was like to get together in small groups and talk about this, but we already are a small group, so I can tick that one off the box. And so I'm going to take an example, and I don't know if it's going to work or not. You know, it works around our conference room tables. But the second action under message is speak in a language that those outside the ICANN circle can understand. So this is about a couple things, right? Translation or interpretation, but more about plain English or plain language and not using acronyms anymore. And, having a website that's welcoming, that people find the website daunting because it gets really complicated really fast. So, I'd like to stare at this this thing for a little bit and then get some suggestions from you guys, because I'm terrible at this. Get some suggestions on how we could attack this. So, you know, speaking in a language those outside the ICANN circle can understand, is this really important for ICANN, or is this something we could do a little later? There's more important things about ICANN. And then, like, who's the driver for this? So identify some tasks. And so one might be, an acronym dictionary that's more well thought out than the one we have now, or a better explanation of the ICANN model. So once, you know, who should drive that? Should it be a staff-driven thing? Is there a community group that could go off and, you know, which members of our community could go off and help run this? And, you know, how do we facilitate it? So we could either talk about this one, which would be kind of fun, or, you know, if I could get some feedback from you guys here on how we might talk about this. Is anybody willing to stand up and talk? Anybody but Jacob? Oh, okay, Jacob.
Look, I just wanted to the question of language is really interesting because there are many different languages around the world. Many different. Sorry, it's Jacob. I'm with the big room. Oh, hey, Alex. The question of language is quite interesting. So, speak in a language those outside the ICANN circle and can understand. But there may also be many different languages around the world. And one of the most exciting initiatives that I saw announced here this week was the Africa strategy of ICANN. And, particularly some of the action items that are on slide 40, I really encourage people to take a look at that. I think it's great. So just to build in that regional element in terms of speaking in a language that people can understand, often having someone, you know, from the regions or engaged at a regional level can help translate some of that. So just wanted to add that flavor.
So wrap a activity around that, though.
I was already on to the next.
That's all right.
I'll get another mic.
Wrap an activity around that. So, one of the things on here in the Africa list is, an ICANN academy. So part of that ICANN academy in the region in Africa could be understanding concepts that are familiar to people in Africa and drawing analogies to how things might work in the ICANN environment, right? So sitting around a community meeting in Africa, there might be certain terms or discussions or elements of that people are going to be familiar with in that specific part of the world. It helps them make that bridge to, say, oh, it's just like when you do this. You know, oh, yeah, okay, I get it. Does that help?
Yeah, I think so. The ICANN Africa Academy could be the ICANA. New acronym. Here, these Jacobs.
I'll wait.
Can we get this mic on? Guys, can we get this mic on? I've got it on. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm Sokola G, representing ERCC NSO Council. I want to echo what Jacob was saying. What I'm looking and what I'm sensing here is that it seems to me that there are several activities that are emphasizing outreach concepts. ICANN Academy is one. Those regional strategies, whether we are talking about African or Latin American Caribbeans. So perhaps we have to look into those activities and look at synergies. Instead of duplicating work, perhaps we have to better coordinate such activities. Another comment I would have will be with regard to the approach. Just for thinking, it might not be a bad idea to have a bottom-up approach, such as that the ideas for better outreach come from the regions, and they are consolidated and formalized in the center. Perhaps this has to be looked also with the other emerging initiatives for the African strategy or Latin America. So if those ideas come from the regions, I think they will be more sustainable and more relevant and to the point. I think it's great what we are doing here, but perhaps a better coordination with ongoing initiatives will be also beneficial. Thank you.
And so... So this could be under any one of those headings, but one way to approach that is through this collaboration. You know, with whom should we collaborate outside, you know, those who attend ICAM meetings or who happen to go to ICAM meetings, you know, with whom should we collaborate to get that those bottom-up ideas?
Yeah, this is a good point. Today in the morning I participated in the working session for Latin America and Caribbeans. And an idea was thrown there for creating a working group for Latin America, for working on strategy with regard to more engagement with ICANN. So perhaps the collaboration can be with such structures that are being created, or perhaps I'm sure there might be others that we can think of.
Aisha.
Is it on? Okay. Aisha Hassan, International Chamber of Commerce. I just wanted to correct, the last speaker was not Stefan van Gelder. So, sir, if you'd like to say your name again, maybe we can get it correct. You're welcome.
Well, my correct name is Sokol Hajiu, S-O-K-O-L, and an L, correct. H-A-X-H-I-U. Okay, thank you.
There we go. So Aisha Hassan from ICC. I'm just thinking about what the other two speakers have said, and I don't know if this exists somewhere already, but there are a lot of activities that go on where ICANN has a presence or where ICANN is being discussed, and it might be helpful to have some kind of a repository, sort of a calendar, and that can be fed by the regional strategies so that different fora can be maximized for communicating about what ICANN is and furthering the goals of engagement and participation, but most and foremost, awareness raising. We've had various discussions this week in various meetings and workshops about the different outreach strategies, and I just wanted to draw a line between also the work that Sally and Tarek's teams are doing, because from an ICC perspective, joining up the key communications tools with the policy advocacy objectives is something that is of real importance and will really help what a lot of us do to support ICANN in many different arenas. And I would just say that certainly those stakeholders who have materials could also be helpful in contributing to ICANN's efforts in that regard. Another thing that just comes to mind is the language issue. In other conversations we've been having this week, paying attention to how exclusionary certain language can be would maybe just add to the fact that we were talking about translation and interpretation goals, etc. But the way in which we talk about ICANN can sometimes, in and of itself, put barriers to people understanding what we're really talking about. And perhaps having some kind of a filter about who our audience is and what do they really understand from what we're trying to say, because a lot of us sitting here, we understand whether it's convoluted or it isn't. So thank you.
So Aisha, so I think some of that's embodied here and some of it's not, but what's actionable out of that? What could we do as a group or some of us do as a task or an activity or big old project to solve some of that? Is that a team of people that looks at the ICANN website and tries to make it more friendly? Or is that a team of people that talks after an ICANN meeting about different sessions and say, you know, here's where this session was inclusory, I don't know how to say that word, or here's where it tended to exclude people, or here are factors we see. I mean, how do we take that goal, which is exactly the right goal, and get some people working on it, get it funded if it requires funding, or get it staff supported or staff driven? You know, what's the title of the project, and who's on that team, and what are they doing? And it could be one activity. You know, there's going to be several activities that fill that bill, right? So what we're trying to do here, I think, is identify some activities that we can say, okay, now we're doing stuff. We're transitioning into, you know, getting this stuff done that we're talking about.
And Aisha, we're interested in hearing, too, whether you think My ICANN might help with some of the things that you just mentioned, just as you're going through it, what Kurt just asked.
The answer is yes. I think that that has a lot of potential to be very helpful, My ICANN does. I would say we also have a real source of information that we could gather from fellows and newcomers. They're a good test case for what did you understand, what did you not understand, where did you feel you could participate, why was that working, where did you feel like you were lost, and what were some of the things that you identified as being the exclusionary barriers in terms of participation. So that might be an action to tap and survey and get feedback from the newcomers and fellows if that isn't already being done, but it with specific questions that identify feedback on this issue. The other thing I raised was how do we capture all the many events that are going on around the world? And that would be useful for all of us to be able to cross-pollinate information. Maybe that's an addition to various structures, web pages, or I don't know. I'm not a technical person in that regard, but thinking of an idea, how do we get the community to feed that information somewhere?
Alex?
Thank you, Kurt. Thank you. Congratulations, Janice, Kurt, everybody else who has organized this session. I think it's very important. My name is Alejandro Pisanti from the National University of Mexico. I see a very, very good structure in what you have presented. This is extremely helpful. It looks like you have done a lot of thoughtful analysis, and I think that it's something we can build upon. I would add one axis of classification, which would be the type of activity, going from a very loose, open, unidirectional broadcast outreach at a very basic level and climbing up to highly structured, long-lasting educational activities. And, of course, not all of these should be performed by ICANN. Some of them could be only supported by ICANN, or ICANN could be doing even less than that, which is looking at the alumni of these highly structured educational activities. And I have in mind one in which I take part as a supervising instructor, which is the e-learning course by ISOC on Internet Governance, together with Diplo. And you know, you also have the alumni of the former editions of the Diplo alone, and you can look at also at the SSIGs and so forth, with varying mileage, of course, because the products are different in each case. That's one organizing thought, which I think helps classify these things and find out the people and the activities you can do with them. I think it is useful right now to have an inventory of things that are already happening. That could be staff-driven and committee-vetted. A working group, a lightweight working group, could vet them, and having that staff-originated list, have additions to it, or maybe, you know, make it both ways. Call for people to just tell you about things that exist. Maybe people will understand wrongly and use an S instead of the T and try to sell you instead of just tell you, but that's not bad. Plus the inventory you can make from staff, and classify that inventory into things that ICANN can use that already exist, and decide whether you want to actually fund them, whether you want to ask for, you know, you find a school that makes a good class in internet governance, you decide to fund a special group for alumni of the fellows program, or you decide to charge for that school, depends. Or you pass the hat to the private interests that benefit from this by getting better trained people. I think that's a very action item. It's lightweight. It can be put into... I don't think it makes a huge additional workload on staff. On the right staff persons, it just means, you know, put it all together. They already know this stuff. And from here to the meeting in Beijing, it's 6 months. Just getting that inventory is perfectly possible, in my opinion. In fact, I think that inventory can be available in December or January. So thinking of an actionable, you know, significant piece of work for Beijing, you probably would have to begin asking the community how they want to interact with these things. And for once, ask people to tell what they're ready to give and not only to ask for.
So those are several good ideas. Thanks. We've worked some on an inventory, and it's a little bit and I think it's an excellent idea to publish, and I think the construction of it needs to be iterative, because when, you know, we write our inventory, we've got every little knit of newsletter and thing that we do, but we want to make it like a meaningful, but not exhausting document. Excuse me?
Sorry, I think there's a communications art here to make it inviting for people to think, you know, hey, I want to contribute. I don't want to take something. I want to give something.
Okay. I just want to comment, Aisha. We do, for the newcomer lounge, or the newcomer program, I should say, there is a survey that goes out. It will go out actually tomorrow. And I'd love to, on our next edition of it for Beijing, I can't change it now, but I'll talk with Phyllis, who is managing that. We'll add these questions about inclusion and exclusion, but I'm going to email you to ask you for some other suggestions for that, and I can share with you what we currently ask. And for the fellowship program, they do respond to me within 2 weeks, and they do a report that talks about the experience and what worked and what didn't from travel to the sessions. My problem is I haven't been transparent in publishing them. So, you know, I got to put myself right out there. So that is a goal of mine, is to get the wiki finally launched, where all the community can see their experiences and see what is working and what isn't.
Rudy Van Snick from ISOC. I'm a member of the board now, and also participating in the at large as a member of the board of Euralo, the European Regional at Large. In fact, it's the first time that I see that ICANN is stepping down from the high clouds to the grounds, where every user of the internet has to think and find a way of understanding what is going on. When I'm going back to my country, every time I'm living in Belgium, and it's a country in which ICANN is even present physically, when I am pronouncing the word ICANN, many people are just wondering, what is he talking about? And that's, I think, the first step. Try to get the people in the streets already understanding why there is ICANN. Not only the naming, but why. Why do we have an organization that has to manage domain names and IP addresses? And specifically in the use of the language. Try to use wording that is easily translatable, so that people can easily understand by just using a simple dictionary the wording that is used by ICANN, and specifically in the technical matters. Very often, I'm not a native English speaker, but sometimes I have to read sentences 3 to 4 times before I can understand the meaning and the goal of that sentence. And if I bring that up in my community, well, most of my colleagues say, well, we are lucky that we have you who can understand what is the goal and what is the meaning of what we receive on information coming from ICANN. And I think the day that that would happen, you will have an enormous multi-stakeholderism model, because everybody will be willing to participate. We see it in the ISOC community now, that ISOC has changed also some attitudes and is stepping down also to the communities, and that helps community better understanding what you're doing, means that you get more members, more people involved, more people willing to do the work, even if you're not paid for. And I'm really happy to see this workbook. It's really amazing. When, for instance, I'm just picking back to the applicant guidebook for new GTLDs. My God, it was a misery going through all the stuff that is in that applicant guidebook. And when you have to go back, I have been advising our Flemish government. They just asked me, can you translate the whole book? I said, no, it's impossible. Because the wordings that are used are sometimes not, we cannot translate them. Because you're not in line anymore with the wording that is stated in English. So I'm really happy to see that you're going to touch on the language issue. And it's not just a question of the five principal languages. It's the whole world I would like to have involved. And I'm willing to participate in this work group in order to come up with what colleagues of mine, colleagues around the ISO community, would like to have as information to be able to participate in ICANN.
Hi, Kurt. Chuck Gomes. I'm going to talk about language, not in the translation sense. That's critical, the translation part, but language in terms of the context that's been communicated here in terms of just really understanding things, even if the translation is correct or even if it's in English. And those of us that are English speakers may not even get it. And before I go too far on that, I'm going to come back to what someone said and that we all recognize one size doesn't fit all. When we're talking about message here, I could see a working group developing the elements of the messages that we want to send, but I think it's important that we don't stop there. I could envision then multiple groups, totally independent of the first one, that would take the messages and adapt them to their culture, to their region, to their whatever category we want, so that it better facilitates and accomplishes some of what was just said in terms of that, so that we do have this common message we agree on, but then we take that message and customize it for different audiences around the world and have people from those audiences help us do that.
Hi, this is Celia from the Instituto from Latin America. I would like to talk about and not that recent, but still recent initiative, the Newcomers Lounge, which has been working amazingly, and for which I thank Janice and Felice and Gabby for the amazing work that they have been doing. And I, as a former fellow, I've been collaborating these past few days, and I've got a few thoughts that I would like to share on that. So from fellowship program, we think, well, how do we engage new fellows, and how do we prepare them for the first meeting? And we find that the only thing that there is before the meeting is basically the policy update. So with these thoughts, I was wondering if there is any way, this is, might sound a bit crazy, but if there's a way to have like a sort of virtual newcomers lounge or at least a newcomers site where people, you know, that can be a point of entry. Maybe it's too time intensive to have someone there all the time responding to questions, of course. But at least in a short period, instead of doing a full webinar, which is like too very impersonal and set of time, 1 hour is too long. For a newcomer's lounge, you might just need 5 minutes, get that people to the right place, just mark which sessions are relevant, and that might be of interest to them. And the other thing is about the newcomer's lounge, the physical one here, we've found that, the days of most attendance, I have to check this, but it seemed that it was Monday. Monday was because if you think as an outsider, well, what day does the conference start? Usually on a Monday, not on a Sunday. So then they lose a full day of the newcomer's track, which is a pity. So, and then I was wondering, is it really necessary to have one full day of a newcomer's track? Is there any way to get that more condensed in other sessions and take into account that people are thinking that this is starting on a Monday, probably, because that would be the reasonable. So that would be the two comments, if there's any way to do it beforehand and to think about the sessions here to do it in a shorter way and rethink the Sunday. Thank you.
So I think that's really helpful. Thank you. Mikey, come on over. There's handouts. Come on. There's handouts.
So we have one comment here on remote, if I could interrupt you quickly, and they've been waiting.
This is actually my own comment. One thing I found very helpful coming into ICANN was a little website called www.andalusia.com/ICANN, and it's an acronym helper, and it's interactive in that you can type in any acronym that you hear, and it will tell you what it is, but you can also add your own when you've heard new ones, and as a staff member, sometimes I'd hear an acronym that was so new it wouldn't even be in there, and it allowed me to add it. And so I really appreciated the ability to not only look up acronyms that were already in place, but to be able to add and contribute to the ongoing project that is this website.
Celsi from the Secretariat of the Pacific Community, also ISOC Pacific Chapter board member. Basically about the discussion on the fellows, I like the idea of having a virtual newcomers lounge. I think that would be very useful, especially in actually getting new fellows up to speed with what's happening in ICANN. I also like to actually maybe suggest, you know, some kind of similar to a career advisory services, where when you have your fellows in ICANN, you can actually help them, redirect them, so they can get more or less or like focus on what their needs are. It's good to actually check out all the other sessions, but I think, you know, like once or twice, you should be able to know what kind of area you should be focusing on. The other thing is about tracking alumni. I mean, like, what happened after ICANN? Where are they? You know, I mean, having that network of alumni might be a very good thing for ICANN to actually leverage on. And the other discussion on strategy, I like to comment ICANN on actually having, you know, working on the African and the Latin America strategy. And I've mentioned to a couple of ICANN staff that the Pacific is actually looking at, maybe we should start looking at having a Pacific strategy. Pacific tend to be lumped together with Asia. Well, we're talking about Asia countries with a couple millions versus Pacific with less than 100,000. I mean, how you approach them will definitely be different. And then sometimes we tend to be overlooked or overshadowed when we're lumped together as Asia-Pacific region. So maybe ICANN should be start looking at actually having a specific strategy for the Pacific and maybe capture what you actually have been doing so far. I know SAVE has been active, but maybe it would be good to actually have that discussion, you know, see what the other stakeholders have in mind on what they think should be done in the Pacific and how Pacific should engage ICANN. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Is that all? Should I talk?
That's all. I thought maybe you might want to focus on a couple of these.
Yeah, so these are excellent comments that were made. Some of them exist on this list in the workbook, and some of them do not. So they'll be added. And, you know, trying to think about using this workbook as a tool. So I'm going to try this. Who knows what the heck's going to happen. But the former teacher in me is driving me. So I think what I'd like to do, there's like 15 minutes left in the session, and there's six of these categories. Maybe we could take a couple minutes. And these words are like cut and pasted words of input we've received. So we didn't massage the words. But, you know, for example, under messaging, you know, we got really 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different sets of recommendations. Which of these do we think we should put a star next to as high priority. You know, the first is a clear statement of ICANN's philosophy or core mission that really, when you read it and you're new, you understand it. You know, the second one is about speaking in a common language that we talked about. The third is about how ICANN fits into the global environment and how do we frame our communications for the global environment. Fourth, and these overlap largely, the fourth one is about an outsider's perspective. You know, is this something specifically attackable to present information in a way that's understandable on its own without an ICANN community member and a whiteboard spending 20 minutes explaining it? And third is a nuance of that, right? It's considering developing countries, non-commercial users, and how do we approach these individuals that find it hard to connect to the internet, maybe, and hard once they get on how to connect with ICANN. So which of these things, if any, can we parse or do we say is the most important? And then we'll talk about it for a couple minutes, and then we'll go on to the next thing. Girl in the back, Aisha. Microphone.
So I'm looking at these boxes. All of them seem to be very important priority. So if we try to look at this and say which ones of them would communicate to the broadest set of people out there, that may be a way to put a star next to some of them. I would also just add that there is some emphasis here on getting them to participate. And another conversation that's been going on in some of the other outreach discussions in different places this week has been the goal is also to raise awareness and then to see if we get people to participate. So just maybe keeping that in mind.
So I agree, like the message is the most important thing in crafting the message so people can understand it. And that's why I think you're saying, yeah, that these are important.
Chuck Gomes again. You know, Kurt, your question, which one of these are highest? I don't see how you can separate these. I see the value in listing them separately so that we have more complete understanding, but they all really go together.
So when I look at the next page, really has to do with planning. And now that I'm reading these again, in sort of a new light after Alejandro's comment about establishing an inventory. And I think this planning really can be honed a little bit as far as an actionable task into creating an inventory and then, or organizing that and then identifying what we need to achieve, which was one of our original goals. So you're saying kind of go back to that. So I think we can... you know, do this messaging stuff ahead of or in parallel with that because messages are kind of straightforward. We know what the goals are. But, you know, if I look at these planning lines, I'm saying, you know, this is really two things, you know, creating an inventory and then identifying, you know, how we're getting these things done and what's not getting done. So I don't know if anybody has any comments or that.
Well, Kurt, I just want to go back to Chuck's comment. I feel like we kind of left you hanging like a bad Florida chit on a voting card, only because I'm thinking right now, if we're talking FY13, right, we're halfway through, and if we're trying to prioritize things by, you know, what are the items that we know we can do a quality, do quality work and achieve something in FY13, I think we would have to take some of these and prioritize them, but I think you were also saying that some of them merge kind of together and maybe be lumped a little bit better.
Chuck, again, thanks, Janice. I think a different approach than taking one of these, and I understand your thinking is correct, But instead of taking one of these, what I would do is take one message and apply all of these. Does that make sense?
She would stay till midnight at the music night. So take one of just one message and apply all the actions to it. See, it only took twice for me to get that. Thank you. Mikey, I'll come right around.
Oh, I've got a mic.
Okay.
Mikey O'Connor, I don't know if we're... Yeah, we're being transcribed. Sorry to walk in so late, but as others, I'm highly conflicted this week in terms of time. I'm not exactly sure where to insert this idea, so I'm just going to stick it in and see if it fits somewhere. And that is that one of the things that I've observed is that we have a hugely underutilized opportunity in ICANN in the working groups. For people who come to ICANN for the first time, one of the issues that you're going to have to deal with is, well, what do I do now? Now I've gone to the meeting. I'm completely bewildered. How do I take a next step? And at least in the GNSO, which is the generic name supporting organization, and many of the other supporting organizations, we do a lot of work between meetings in working groups. And one of the advantages to working groups is that they're absolutely free to participate in. It's all done by telephone call. It's all done on the net. At least in the GNSO structure, anybody is welcome. It's a great way to do several things. One is to sort of at your own pace learn how we work and learn very deeply about an issue that might interest you, and yet there's absolutely no pressure to do anything. You don't have to feel like you have to perform. You can do one working group in a fairly quiet way and then maybe learn from that, be a little bit more active in the next one, build a peer group so that the next time you come to an ICANN meeting, you have friends, colleagues with whom you've worked for sometimes quite a lot of time, a year or more. And I don't exactly know where to stick that message in this list, so I'll just blurt it out and let you guys digest it. But that's just my contribution.
Thanks, Mike.
May I say something? I'm a novice. I'm a newcomer, and I'm bored to death the whole day, every day. Even this session, I would say take one point and just do it. Then go to the next point and do it. Please, do it. Don't talk about it. Do it. It's obvious. If your core mission is not clear, work on that. Go home now. Do it for the next time. Do it in all the languages possible. So at least one issue is solved. We cannot solve all issues. Then we just talk and talk and talk, and nothing happens. If you ask me, do you come back next time? Well, I probably will, because I meet people I can do business with. But for the ICANN meeting, God, no. It's so boring. From every hour I sit, I get just one line which is useful, which I can use tomorrow in my own business. I'm a domain registrar. I'm obviously a focus group, I think, who you should outreach to. I'm even from Europe. I don't understand what is happening here. And I'm first time here, so maybe it's my fault, which is your suggestion, participate and you learn. Of course, I try. But it takes years. And some of this stuff, if I read this and my people in my company would say this, I would be really angry. If the core mission is not clear, we work on that first before we do anything else. But I also already noticed that people don't like to hear this kind of comments. It's not polite. That's a good thing, to be polite, but it's boring, really.
So some of us find ICANN meetings terrifying.
Well, it's like an airplane flight. There's long periods of boredom, punctuated by short periods of stark terror. You know, it's the way it goes. I think boredom is sometimes because ICANN is very tricky to understand in a gulp. So I can remember my first ICANN meeting in Melbourne or in Wellington. And it was boring and frustrating, and nobody stood still long enough for me to talk to them because they were rushing from place to place, and then they'd all disappear. The place would get empty, and then suddenly they'd all reappear. Where did they go? What are they talking about? It's just, you know, none of us are that far in time away from our first meeting, and at least for me, it's a vivid memory. And I think one of the things that would have helped me a lot is if I could have done a working group session or two before I came. So that, because the reason this is boring is because all the work is already done. This is basically the working groups coming together to ratify work that takes place 1 hour a week all year long. And the working group sessions are actually a lot more interesting because that's where the actual conversation takes place. And here is sort of the punctuation mark that says, okay, this one's done. Let's make sure that the community approves, and then let's move on to the next. And so it is boring in a way, but that doesn't make it unapproachable. And that's what I was trying to get at, is that unlike many organizations where you as individuals have no path in to the core of the thing, in ICANN, there's a giant path in, and it's free for anybody in the world to participate.
Arno Fiss again. I agree totally with the former speaker that this is about what you yourself can do to get in. And I don't disagree that it is necessary, but we are talking about outreach here. And outreach is what I can do to get me in. And I think, the big difference. What the lady at the end was saying, I forgot her name, but is, as a newcomer, you get a badge. Like, hey, I'm stupid. I don't want to wear the badge. That's the first thing you rip off. Take it seriously. Do something like she suggested. Have a, well, not a whole day, but a two-hour work group where newcomers get up to speed, where they get explained what all the abbreviations stand for and God knows what, that you have a general idea what it's all about. It's quite simple stuff, very basic. You said a few times in your your presentation, Kurt, was it? Yeah. Maybe we have to look at the website. It's not good. Yes, it's not good. So what are we waiting for here? Hire a company who can do a good website, knows about communication, explain everything what you can know in so many ways that are more common on the internet. Why should the ICANN website be one of the most terrible websites in the world if you want to have outreach? Simple. Start at the basics. But do it.
But when you define ICANN, though, ICANN is everybody in this room and everybody out there, right? And if we work together and do these things together, we're going to work a lot faster. And the work product at the end of the day is going to meet everyone's expectations. And so the intent here is transition that work from ICANN staff members that think they know what everybody wants and are right a high percentage of the time but are limited to a more of a joint effort that we haven't been good at before. Everybody here works really, really hard, but we don't always work together in a coordinated way. And if we can harness that, then we can do a lot of these things faster. So do we think we know what the message is and what ICANN is in here? Yeah, I think we do. But I think we don't do a good job of coordinating how to push that out. And we don't do a good job of coordinating how to make best use of language. And the idea here is to coordinate us into work teams, working together so things can be done faster.
And I know we're going to have to start to wrap up. And we had Sam who would like to make a comment. We had Vanessa who would like to make a comment.
Yeah, so
Okay.
So, yeah, on office again. One quick comment on what you said is I understand totally what you're saying, actually. But maybe that's the big problem. If you hire, like, a web development agency or a communication agency to do it for you, they will ask you all the questions that a newcomer has to know to be able to understand themselves. If you try to do it from the community, then, and you already understand what it's all about, it's never clear for you what a newcomer will not understand. So if you hire a newcomer, which are professionals in communication, they can help you do it much faster and will be, of course, in the end, you can have the community saying, hey, but this is maybe not clear enough, or we have to do this, but do not try to let the community do this, because that will, in this case, not work. On the policy stuff and everything, I agree that it should be community-driven and it's very important, but on communication, if you can explain it to a communication agency, it's most probably that the community will understand as well.
Okay, I'll stand. I'm sort of a newbie, although I'm a lapsed ISOC person, and I'm Sam Lanfranco. My internet address is based on a UUCP protocol, so it goes back a while. I'm astounded. And what I'm astounded about is that ICANN holds a meeting every year. It should be doing 99% of what it does in that electronic space, and that should be the bulk of the iceberg, and these things should be the tip of the iceberg. You know, in terms of the content that goes out there, it should be of value to those who use it, those who see it, not just to educate them about ICANN, but something they can take away and use. That use may be to form a working group, it may be to do something, but if the content doesn't have value to them where they are, other than saying, we're over here, it's not enough. And most of it should take place between the meetings, whether they're a year apart or whatever. That's the whole reason for the electronic space in the first place.
I agree. I was astounded how much travel goes on in amongst the internet community.
Hi, my name is Vanessa. I'm from Brazil. I'm here as a fellow. I work in Brazil for the National Telecommunication Regulator. And I can say that the best part of the program and the ICANN meeting so far is the very early morning meetings for the fellowship. The newcomers track on Sunday is nice, but it's not that I'm bored. I wouldn't say that word not, it's because it's not a polite, but because I know that the meeting is a result of a process that goes between the meetings. So the people that comes to the meeting, they start working and they discuss a lot of months. So they come here, they get their business done. So they're not going to debate and have all the things discussed here. But the really fellowship early morning meetings, they present that I can even, so the ones that don't know, they can understand the message. They can understand what each group, each constituency, each instructor does. And I'm not, even if you pass that barrier, I think one thing that is really hard is to see or to realize where can you engage. This is something really difficult. I have participated in other IG fora, but I really find ICANN really hard to understand by myself at home, seeing the site. It's really hard. I think we need, after the message, we need something like one page. Okay, you are a user. Where can you engage? If you are a user, click here. Okay, these are the groups that you can engage. You are a small business. These are the groups that you can. Your organization, nonprofit organization. These are the structures that you can participate. This is really, really hard to understand and get engaged. That's the next step that we want. We want people to come to participate, to understand the message, to get it. But we also want them to participate. And this is something that is really, really hard, too. Thank you.
Thanks. That was a great comment. A couple more. Three. Oh, go ahead.
We are just over time, so I want to be respectful of the group coming in. Go ahead, Rudy.
Rudy Van Snake again. I have two comments to give to the two people that have spoken. First of all, when you say the community, well, the community, that's us, that's you. So when you ask the community to bring up what would be better, means that it's everybody. It's not just the high-level technicians. It's not only staff. It's also us. I'm in ICANN, participating in ICANN since 2005 now. And I start understanding the way the things are going on. And it takes time. It's like in politics. It's boring too. And it takes years before. And we in Belgium, we can say we are specialists. It took us 450 days to create a government. That's boring too. But at the end, you need it. You cannot work without it. And ICANN is needed. We cannot have the internet functioning without ICANN. So I think try to understand that it's all of us that should come up with comments and help ICANN to make people understand what they are doing. And just for example, when you are the first time in ICANN, try to focus on maybe just one aspect, one topic, and try to go in-depth in that and try to understand just that. That's what I did in the beginning. Now I'm in several working groups and I'm starting understanding. At the other side, when the server was talking about the fact that there was one meeting, we have three physical meetings, but what you're missing here is that we have meetings almost every day. I have, in average, 3 conference calls a week because I'm participating in 7 working groups. That means that a lot of the work is not seen outside. And maybe that's also an aspect that ICANN should try to work on to show that between the physical meetings, there's a lot going on. And there is a lot of work being done, and that's also something that could attract outsiders to participate. It's maybe also something that should be a message going out that it's not just having our 3 big troubles and that's it. No, it's much more than that.
Yeah. Thank you. We had a couple more comments and then got a wrap. So, Alex.
Kurt, we really do need to get ready for the next meeting that's coming in here.
We're going
to
give 2 people 1 minute each.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We have the young lady behind.
My name is Aderonke Adeni from Nigeria. I'm also an alumni of the ICANN Fellow in Dakar. Mine is a suggestion. An addition to what my colleague, the alumni, had said with regards to the newcomers' lounge. Find out that when you're filling your form online, registering for the meetings, the options you have is how many meetings have you attended. It doesn't give you the option whether you're a newcomer. Perhaps if the people in charge can look at that form and put like an option for newcomers, you click on that newcomer and when the form is being reviewed, a prompt mail can be sent to the person that's registered as a newcomer. Oh, you're a newcomer, welcome to ICANN meetings and all. Of course, your profile would have been seen, and the message would also indicate that there's a newcomer's lounge. So you can partake and have
that's
better
really good
information.
Idea.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Alex, you want to take us home?
Alejandro Pisanti, I didn't get your name. Hagen. I think that the registrar constituency is one of the least boring places I've ever been in ICANN meetings, and that's consistently one after the other. That's where most of the vivid discussions take place, because that's where a lot of the model changes are being found, and all the way from speculation to very top-down control of the operations. I'm surprised that your board probably... You really need to get more into that. It's a big process. ICANN is a big process. It has lots of moving pieces going together. And when you don't see the pieces, it's very boring. Once you begin to distinguish the small pieces and the gears and the collisions, they're fine. And to Sam Lanfranco, who's a very dear friend for many years, very highly respected professor here, there's easily 1,000 emails on any subject in which I take part. I mean, if I look at my at-large or lacrallo files, there's easily 1,000 emails in it, written or received by me, between meeting and meeting. So you're really looking at the top of the iceberg here at the meeting.
Thanks very much, Alex. Thanks, everybody, for your positive contributions. You're going to see feedback and actions out of this in the coming weeks.
I have everyone's email address. So far, I have one more person, and this gentleman here who I'm going to capture, and then we'll be sending out this document electronically so we can all work on it towards our next session. Thank you to the GNSO for being so patient with us, and please come on down.